looking at Tvilas Kalim, and yesterday we went through Rashi and Ramban, as explained by the Aruch HaShulchan. One note, which I didn't say during the shiur, because I realized during the shiur I was missing it, and so I went looking for it afterwards, and now I have it, but of course you don't, because it's not on your sheet. Filling in the gap in that Rashi that we read, we said, as Aruch HaShulchan noted, that Rashi believes that V'taher is extra to teach me about old Kalim, and Tavir Bamayim is there to teach me about the about new Kalim. So Rashi on the Chumash actually says that explicitly, that Tavir Bamayim is for new Kalim. And that was what the Aruch HaShulchan was building on. I didn't have it there in front of me, so I didn't mention it. But if you look at Rashi on the Chumash, and Lamed Aleph Chav Gimel, that pasuk there, Rashi will actually say it to you explicitly. But today, we're looking at the Rambam, and the odd language of the Rambam, because we did establish yesterday that the Gemara seems to draw the mitzvah of Tvilas Kalim from Psukim. So the question then is, if Tvilas Kalim is really to be learned from Psukim, why does the Rambam seem to indicate it's Derabbanan? So that's source number 7. Tvila zusha madbilin klei seruda hanalkachem v'men ha'akum ve'achar kach yusru la'achila u'shesia einan le'ayin tumah v'tahara elami divrei sofrim. This immersion that you dip klei seruda, which have been purchased from someone who isn't Jewish, and then they'll be permitted for eating and drinking, that's not as far as tumah and tahara, like we noted yesterday. Elami divrei sofrim, rather it's a rabbinic enactment of gotta dip these things. I'm assuming divrei sofrim means rabbinic enactment. V'ramez law, there's a hint to it in the Torah, called davar she'avo ba'esh tavru ba'esh v'taher. Anything that can go through fire, pass through fire, and it will be tahor. Umi piha shmua lamdu, they deduced, or I shouldn't say they deduced, they learned from tradition, she'enu medaber ela b'taharas and midei gi'ule akum, that it's not talking about anything other than purifying them from gi'ule akum. Gi'ul means the food that's been absorbed in it. From, used by people who are not Jewish. Lo midei tumah, it's not about tumah at all. It's kashering. The Rambam sounds like he's saying. She'en lecha tumah ola al yedei ha'esh, because there's no such thing as removing tumah via fire, right? Like we said yesterday. V'chola tamei eme b'tvila olen mitumah san. Anything that is tamei loses its tumah by immersion. V'tumas meis ba'zao b'tvila. Right? If it's tamei from contact with the dead, then it goes through the 7-day process in the paraduma and immersion in a mikvah. V'ein sham esh klal. There's no such thing as fire. Ela le'inyan gilui akum, only for kashering. And the Kema Shekasa Vitaher, and once the Pasuk says Vitaher, Amru Chachamim the Chachamim said, Hosef Lotara Achar Avera Avirasa Ba'esh Latir Migi Ule Akum. You have to do another step after it's passed through the fire to permit it from its use by non-Jews. This Rambam is extremely problematic, and the one note that I gave you yesterday about, hey, let's say it's the Rabbanan, is only the tip of the iceberg. What else should be bothering you in this Rambam?
Well, I mean, we were talking yesterday about the sheet of Nachman. In the Gemara, how he says that the pasuk's talking about not kashering, but he's talking about kashering, and then also there's an aspect of
right. Right, Rav Nachman said explicitly in the Gemara. Rav Nachman was clear. Rav Nachman said in the Gemara, old Kalim that have gone through kashering are like new ones now. So what in the world is the Rambam talking about that this is now a kashering step? Rav Nachman was explicit that it's not. More, what kind of Kalim do I have to tovel?
Metal.
Right, that's true. But I'm talking about in terms of material, metal. And then we have other things that we throw in there
metal
also.
Products.
But...
Right.
But more than that, sorry? Older used ones or new ones. According to the Rambam, new ones shouldn't have to go to mikvah.
Yeah.
Not only that, we're going to see, God willing, in the coming weeks, that I only tovel a kli that I acquire from someone who isn't Jewish. If someone who isn't Jewish lends me a kli of his, I have to kosher it in order to use it, but I don't take it to mikvah. According to the Rambam, I should be taking it to mikvah. Right? Because this is part of kashering, and that means it should go to mikvah also. This Rambam is odd. What in the world is the Rambam talking about? So we have to answer these two sets of questions. Number one, is this really a derabbanan? And if so, what do you do with the Gemara? And number two, the question of what this does to our whole concept of toveling, if you're going to call toveling part of the kashering process. So the Rashbah, going back to our first question, the Rashbah indeed seems to say that that yes, the Rambam believes that it is Dirabbanan. The Rashbah is discussing a separate issue, the issue of collaterals. I've already mentioned that you tovel a kli that you acquire, right? But not a kli that you borrow. So let's say you have an intermediate category of ownership. Something which is in your possession right now and might become yours in the future. And it might become yours retroactively in the case of a collateral. I lent Shlomo money. Okay? We're not going to use Shlomo, actually, because this is the case of someone who isn't Jewish. So, sorry, Shlomo, you don't qualify. I lent money to the construction worker across the street. I wanted to know that he's going to pay me back. So he gave me his coffee cup as collateral. Okay? He has a metal coffee cup, and he gave me the coffee cup as collateral. With the understanding that if he defaults on the loan, I'm going to collect the coffee cup. The coffee cup will become mine based on the loan that I extended already. Well, does that mean then that I have to tovel if I'm planning on using it? That's the question about a mashkon. The Gemara asks that question, not mentioning the construction worker by name. And the Gemara's answer is, I don't know. Rashba, writing in his Taras Habayis, where he gives us the laws of Yoredeya, source number 8, Iboyalo, he asks. They ask, I should say. They were asked. Mashkanta, my, what's the status of a mashkona collateral? Tosh, ma, come and hear the Amar Mabar of Ashi. Mabar of Ashi said, Abba Mishken le goi kasa de kasva, ve at bale vishasi be. Mabar of Ashi reported the following incident. Rav Ashi, his father, had lent money to someone who was not Jewish, had gotten back a silver cup as collateral, and he dipped it in the mikvah before using it. I don't know if he did that because he believed that holding it as collateral is like owning it, and therefore it's already his, and even if the guy is going to pay him back, doesn't matter, it's considered like he purchased it, he's the owner. Or if it was because he knew the guy wasn't going to pay him back and was just planning on abandoning this specific collateral. In other words, is collateral automatically like ownership? Or was it, in this case, he knew the guy was going to abandon it, and therefore it was like it was his? He says, I don't know. And the Gemara leaves it as a question. Ule'inyan psak halacha, and as far as what we do in practice, harambam zalkasav de'enu tzarach tevila, the Rambam wrote that indeed it does not require immersion in a mikvah. That's the Rambam's ruling. Collateral does not require immersion. Utmi'ali, so the Rashba says, I don't understand. The Hamashma the Tefila Zumi de Oraisi, because it sounds like from the Gemara this is a biblical requirement to immerse. Dimikle Midyan Garminoma, we learn it from the war with Midyan and the Kalim they took, Vafilu Bekalim Chadashim, even by new ones. The Imkin Havale Safek de Oraisa Ulachumra. In that case, it's a Safek de Oraisa, it's Safek in a biblical matter, and you should go strictly. So if the Gemara doesn't have an answer about whether we dip Mashkon, collateral, or not, the assumption should be dip it out of doubt, right? Don't make a bracha, but dip it in the mikvah. Umihu hu zal kasav the tefilas kelim midivrei sofrim he. However, he, the Rambam, wrote that it's midivrei sofrim, that it's rabbinic. Ukroy asmachta ba'almahein, and the psukim are simply asmachta. So he says this is the Rambam's view. Since the Rambam believes that it's dirabbanan, therefore he's fine with this concept. He's fine with saying that if you're in doubt, you don't have to immerse it. But what do I do with our Gemara? Is this really what the Rambam believes, that it's an asmachta? Is that really so? So the answer is not necessarily. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos, listing the 613 mitzvos and their various aspects. And the Rambam, in his introduction, gives you a set of rules defining what he's going to include in the 613 and what he is not going to include in the 613. It's not so simple that you can simply say anything that's a mitzvah goes into the 613. 613 is a magic number. The Gemara in Makos, Rabbi Simloi, says there are 613 mitzvos because it says Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Hashem and Moshe gave us 611 mitzvos. Torah in Gematria 611. So Moshe gave us 611 mitzvos. And Hashem gave us the first two, Anochi and Lo'i Elacha. Those are spoken in the first person. That's Hashem talking. So 611 plus 2 is 613. So the Rambam and a whole bunch of his contemporaries decide they're going to come up with the list of the 613. You have to exclude some. You have to include some. So what are my rules? So the Rambam gives you in his introduction how he counts the mitzvos. So take a look at what he says in Shoresh Beis, the second part of his introduction. Source number 9. Kol ma sheyotzi adam heim anathim min hasharashim shenamru lo lemoshe b'sinai b'beyur v'heim tarek mitzvos. He says whatever a person is going to produce from the Torah, whatever you're going to find within the Torah in terms of defining our obligations, are branches that come from the roots that were said to Moshe at Sinai. Verse 6:13. He says, since these are all just branches coming from those central roots, they don't get counted, even if Moshe himself was the one who said to you, this is deduced from. It doesn't make a difference. Anything that is deduced from what was said to Moshe at Sinai doesn't count in the 6:13. Vaharaya alzeh kulo amram b'gemar temura. He says, I can prove it to you from the Gemara at the end of Temura. The LF, you know, this is from an old print in the Sefer HaMitzvos. In fact, it says Yud Vav. It's before they switched over into Tetzayin. The Tetzayin is a relatively new thing as history goes. And so it's Tetzayin Amud Aleph, also known as Yud Vav Amud Aleph. Elef Ushva Meos Kalan Vachamurin Ugzeros Shabbos V'Dikduke Sofrim Nishtakhu B'Mei Evlo Shal Moshe. The Gemara at the end of Temura says that 1,700 Kal Vachomer deductions and Gzeros Shava and analyses and all that were forgotten during the Avelos for Moshe. V'Afal B'Kenech Ziron Asniel Ben Knaz Mipil Pulo. But Asniel Ben Knaz deduced them. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'Yomer Kale V'Asher Yakez Kriya Sefer L'Chada V'Yilkado Asniel Ben Knaz. Right, a Pasuk which sounds like it's talking about conquest of land in Israel, but it's actually, as the Gemara understands it, talking about conquest of Torah, that Asniel ben Knaz figures out the things they forgot. So he says, you know, if there were that many things, if these are the things that were forgotten that Asniel restored, he says, how many must there have been from which 1,700 were forgotten? In other words, if you can forget 1,700 halachos, how many more halachos must there be in general that they actually remembered and maintained? Far more than 613. It's not pshat that you had 613 mitzvos and you forgot 1,700 in addition to those. That's clearly not so. And we're not necessarily saying each halacha is a mitzvah. His point is, there have to be many, many more than 613. He says it can't be it's just not true. You can't say they forgot everything that was known. Also, that 1700 was the body of Torah. That's it. They've forgotten Shema, Tefillin, whatever. He says, for sure, you had thousands and thousands of things that were deduced from Kal Vachomer and the other methods of analysis. And here's the key point now. He's getting to. Ve'elu kulam hayunodi b'mei Moshe Rabbeinu ki b'mei Evlo nishtakhu. All of those things were known in the days of Moshe. They were forgotten during the Avelos for Moshe. And hine nisvar lacha, it is clarified for you, shafilu b'mei Moshe ne'amar dikduke sofrim. That these dikduke sofrim, all these ways that we analyze things, the Zereshava, Kavachomer, etc., all trace back to Moshe. Ki koma shaloshamu b'sinai b'beyer hine humi divrei sofrim. Everything you didn't hear explicitly at Sinai, like a mitzvah, like lo tirtzach, is divrei sofrim. So in other words, the Rambam is saying, there is such a thing as something that is d'oraisa, that I'm going to call divrei sofrim. It's not 613, nonetheless it's d'oraisa. And that is the category, perhaps, that the Rambam is using for his approach to Tevilas Kalim. And so is brought in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan tries to show that this is the way we should read the Rambam. If you take a look at source number 10, he quotes the Rambam first. If you see where I have Sif Beis? So he gives you the direct quote. Sif Beis is mostly just the Rambam. The first four lines are the same thing that we had there in the Rambam. And then he ends with V'rabim torchu v'kavanasu u'barichas devarav. Many have strained to know what he is talking about and why he goes on at length with it. See the Lecha Mishnah. And what I'm going to give you now is in part from the Lecha Mishnah. But then Siv Gimel. U'lefi anius daiti. In my humble opinion, Nira de Hadila Harambam Havakasha lay. The Rambam had a problem. My Diek Hashas min Vitaher Diaserahu. What exactly is the Gemara deducing from the word Vitaher, which is superfluous? He says every time in the Torah something you go through something to become tahor, the Torah ends v'taher. It's over and over again. Kimo gives you examples. V'chiper aleha kohen v'tahera. V'chiper aleha kohen v'taher. V'rachatz b'sero b'mayim chayim v'taher. Uva shemesh v'taher. Right? Over and over again. The word v'taher shows up in the Torah. So why does the Gemara think v'taher here is specifically worthy of analysis? Okay, yote b'ayilu in cases like this. He says, because, and this is what the Rambam is stressing with his comments about how you never use fire for Tahara. The Rambam's point is that if this was talking about Tuma and Tahara, I would say this is like all those other places where it says Vitaher. It's not really superfluous. But here they learned by tradition, Mipi Hashmua, that's his point that it's Divrei Sofrim, Kolomer Shebabe Kabbalah, She'enu Medaba Rak Bigi Ulam, that it's talking specifically about kashering and not about Tuma and Tahara. V'yesh Hechreach Lazeh, and you can prove it, as the Rambam does, Sharei Lo Matzinu B'shum Tuma She'tistalek HaTuma Yedei HaEish, because Tuma never disappears with a fire. Lo B'chol HaTumeim, V'lo B'tumas Meis, not by any other type of Tuma, not by Tumas Meis, not by anything. And so it must be that the fire is there for kashering. And therefore the Torah should not have used the word v'taher. It should have said v'kasher or something, even though we don't use the word kasher for kosher food in the Torah. You don't find that. Nonetheless, it should have used some other terminology. That's the Rambam's point. So what is v'taher? Therefore, it must be talking about immersion in a mikvah, where the word tahara is actually relevant. Like in the Yerushalmi, you are bringing it from the tuma of, literally, the Egyptians to the kedusha of Yisrael. You know what he's doing there. First of all, he's quoting the Yerushalmi we saw yesterday, right? But he changed the words. The Yerushalmi edition that we had yesterday, mitumas hagoy, v'nechzu kedushas Yisrael. The Aruch HaShulchan is very worried about the censor in Poland, right? The Russian censors are still active in the Aruch HaShulchan's day. And he's very worried about causing problems with whoever's going to read this. And so he says, we tell Vokalim to remove them from the Tumah of Mitzrim. Doesn't mean Mitzrim, but that's a better way to say it. That's why he says Mitzrim. He should have at least said Midyanim. Nonetheless, Kedusha and Tahara achas hein. It's really the same. Kedusha and Tahara is the same thing. Sorry?
Or what about Canaan, being that was used as a general term?
Yeah, he could have used that.
At one point.
Right.
To refer to non-Jewish people. But that's really all that Israel really had for non-Jews.
Right. I would have said Midyanim only because this is a war with Midyan. Like, it makes sense to use the term Midyanim. Nonetheless, that's what he's... that's the Aruch HaShulchan's word there. That's his choice of words. But his point is that that's why the Rambam takes all this time on the word v'taher and fire and all that. So that's good. So we've now answered the question of, is this Derabbanan? Saying, yes, the Rashba believes that the Rambam is saying it's Derabbanan. Whether Rashba believes that or not is a separate question. Number one. Number two, we've explained why the Rambam went on at length in his discussion here. The point that the Rambam was bringing was to say that to explain why the Taher is extra. That's fine. But we still need to understand what we're talking about in terms of kashering. So first, let's finish the Aruch HaShulchan, Seif Dalet. He says, "Kol Raboseinu Hiskimu." Everybody agrees the Tefillah Zoi Min HaTorah. That is the Oraisa. Some wrote that the Rambam says it's Derabbanan. He quotes you that Rashba. Because the flow of his language sounds that way. He called it Midivrei Sofrim. However, according to what we've just explained, Asi Shapir, it's all fine. Since He says, since in the simple read of the Pasuk, there is nothing extra. The word Vitaher is not superfluous in the Pasuk. It's only that the Rabbanan said, that this is something odd. Because we're not talking about Tuma and Tahara. Therefore it is extra. And that's why we call it Divrei Sofrim. Just like for Kiddushin. Right, the Torah says ki yikach ish isha, and we say yikach means with kesef. Therefore, doing marriage, executing kiddushin with money is divrei sofrim. It's d'oraisa, but the sofrim are the ones who told us yikach means money. So too here, toveling is d'oraisa, but the sofrim are the ones who told us that v'taher means kashering rather than tuma and tahara, and therefore the word is extra, and therefore I can apply it to mikvah. Okay, so that's the idea. And he gives you the reference to the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Fine. Last point, though, the major question of, if this is really kashering, what do we do with Rav Nachman's logic? Right? Rav Nachman's logic seems to fall apart. Why don't borrowed Kalim need it? Why is it that new Kalim need it? So take a look at Lechem Mishnah. He says you're reading the Rambam wrong. Source 11. Vishir l'shono sh'rabenu kachu. The way to read the Rambam's language is actually thus. Amru Chacham, the Chachamim said, Hosif lo tahara achar aviraso ba'ish. Add tahara, add purification after it passes through fire. Sha'osa ha'avara ba'ish, hi kidei lahatiro midei gi'ulei akum. That passing through fire is to kasher it from gi'ulei akum. In other words, take it to mikvah after you have passed it through fire to remove gi'ulei akum. That's the way to read the Rambam. Avolokoi hai latiro midei gi'ulei akum letahara acheres shehizkir. That phrase, latiro midei gi'ulei akum, is not referring to this other purification. Deina tahara ba latiro miyad gi'ulei akum avolohi ba minatama omer b'Yerushalmi. So take a look back at the Rambam and let's read the Rambam the way he breaks up the line. It's source number 7 again. He says, Tevila zu shemat bilin klei ha-se'uda ha-nalkacha min ha-akum. This immersion of the equipment you bought off of the akum, v'yachach yitru la'achilu shesia, such that it will then be permitted for eating and drinking, einam le'inyon tuma v'tahara ela midivrei sofrim, is not, right, for tuma and tahara, that we all have, right? It's only midivrei sofrim. V'remez law called davar she'yavo ba'esh, taviru ba'esh v'taher. The hint to this is from that pasuk. U'mipi alam pashmua lamdu. She'enu medaber ela b'taharasan midegi ulei akum. She'enu medaber, that it is not speaking about anything other than tahara from giulei akum. That's not referring to the immersion in the mikvah. That's referring back to she'yavo ba'esh. That's the way he's going to read the line. The reference to removing you from and all that is talking about going through fire. Look at the last line in the Rambam, the end of the Rambam's line. Similarly, v'kivin shkasev v'taher amru chachamim hosif lo tahara achar avirasa ba'ish latiro migiulei akum. You see the way the line reads? He says the chachamim said add a tahara step after it has passed through fire to remove giulei akum.
So that'd be like how Rashi understood it?
It has to be the way that, I think it's the way that all of them took it, in effect. The only one who this doesn't work for, I think, is the Aruch HaShulchan. Because the Aruch HaShulchan's whole point in saying this, in his whole analysis, was to get to the idea that the Rambam believes this is deduced as a kashering step. So I don't know what the Aruch HaShulchan will do with the Lechem Mishnah's point. He's aware of it. But I don't know what he does with it. But I think he'll say, the Lechem Mishnah will say, yeah, this is Rashi and this is Ramban. That all of them will look at it this way. Because the Psukim aren't the problem, it's just the language of the Rambam that's the problem. The Psukim can be read this way very well. Right? Vitzahar is extra, right? Here's a step that goes on after kashering. The only reason why I worry about the Aruch HaShulchan is because the Aruch HaShulchan stresses, I mean, his language is so strong that Vitaher is superfluous because this is part of a kashering process and not a tahara process. Like, that's the Aruch HaShulchan statement in the Rambam.
And there's no tahara process at all in this.
Yeah. That's what makes Vitaher extra. Whereas Rashi, I think, will say Vitaher is extra because Vitaher is extra. And because you just didn't need it. In other words, you'll ask me, well, the Torah says Vitaher elsewhere. Yeah, that's extra too. There's something else I can learn there as well.
So over here, what does the Aruch HaShulchan Sefer Taher comes to teach us?
So the Aruch HaShulchan Sefer Taher comes to teach us, like Rashi said, that there's another step that we have to take, taking the Kelim to Mikvah. His only difference is, why is it extra? Why is this something worth noting? Rashi didn't say why it's something worth noting. We just assumed because it's an extra word. Because you finished your process, you didn't need the word v'taher. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, it's not just that. It's extra also, not just in the fact that there's an extra word, but there's an extra word using the language of Tahara, which didn't really belong here. Rashi didn't stress that.
I don't quite understand the point. What stated before about... there's a lot of mentioning of the word v'taher or some combination of that word.
Yeah.
So what was the conclusion on that?
Right, so that's according to the Aruch HaShulchan, is why I need to say that this is a kashering step, and therefore v'taher is odd. In other words, as far as the Aruch HaShulchan is concerned, just having the word v'taher doesn't mean anything is wrong. You can have the word v'taher, it's okay, it's just a verdict. Now you're done. Now it's usable. The novelty is that you use the word v'taher to refer to something which isn't a tumah and tahara process. I have a separate problem with the Aruch HaShulchan in any case, which is that we do use the words tameh and tahor in the Torah to refer to kosher and treif. Right? By Noach. Right? When you talk about min ha-behema tahara and min ha-behema sherinene tahara, we assume that's referring to kosher and non-kosher animals. Right? Even though Noah hasn't read Parshas Shemini or Re'eh, there it is a Tumah and Tahara by Tzaras. But we also use it, as I recall, in Shemini, right? V'zelochem hatameh.
Over and over.
Yeah. So we do actually use these terms to refer to kosher and non-kosher. And we never use the word kosher in Chumash to refer to kosher and non-kosher. So I'm also bothered by that in the Aruch HaShulchan. I don't have an answer. Why he thinks this is such a jarring mushroom.
Mentioning, although it's not for food as much as it is a status mentioned during Elia Cohen's interpretation of Hannah via his...
Right, well, she Korah, and then we reread that as Kshera, right?
Yeah, but it is explicitly mentioned in the Tanakh.
I think it's not. I think it says Vayachsheveha Lashikora. Right?
Oh,
I don't think it actually... I think the Medrash there says that he gets the letters mixed up.
I thought a little bit later that it said that.
It could be. We'll have to take a look in a Tanakh. I thought not, but I could be wrong.
I guess I was mistaken.
No, take a look in there. You have the Haftorah there for Rosh Hashanah. I think we read it as the Haftarah for Rosh Hashanah. So maybe you'll see it in there. But yeah, this is an odd. I'm not sure what to do with the Aruch HaShulchan in particular, because the Lech HaMishnah is answering really solid questions, and I don't know what the Aruch HaShulchan is going to do with them. If you really believe in it, the other question that I have is, why couldn't this be a third variety of processing? In other words, there's kashrus, for which you have a kashering protocol. There's tumah tahara, and you have a purification protocol. And then there's dipping it in the mikvah, which is neither. Why assume that if it's not tumah tahara, it must be kashering? And the answer may just be because we don't have any such framework. It would have to be then a total derabanan. The derabanan are coming along in a bit. I'm not sure why that should be so.
So nafkamina lalach, if you have an old dish...
Yeah.
Or, let's say, a new dish. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, you wouldn't need to do anything?
No, he can't say that. The Aruch HaShulchan must agree that it's for all Kalim. I just don't know what he's going to do in order to deduce that, now that he's read this into the Rambam. I don't understand. He doesn't address it. He doesn't address the question.
Right.
Unless he's going to say, I suppose, in Siv Gimel, he quotes that language from the Yerushalmi, the one that he changes a lot.
It's not? I messed up.
Okay.
Over-running.
Okay. It could be that when he quotes that Yerushalmi, he's trying to say it's not really Giyul like food that's been absorbed, it's just the Kedusha issue. So in fact it is a third type of transition. It's not kashering, it's not purification, it's ownership Kedusha.
I mean, right, if he's quoting the Yerushalmi, it's kind of difficult to say that it's just the Lashon Mitumas Amitim of Kedushas Yisrael, that it's just kashering.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's not. Work. Yeah. So that Yerushalmi may be where he is. Yeah, he's using Yerushalmi as his corrective.
Yeah.
Okay. And that could be the way to resolve it. Okay. Tomorrow morning.